Memories of a Biology Watcher. Food and Water. Beetles and Rats. Written by Z. Charnot in 1988. I read. To be a student of biology for at least these past 15 years, and likely lifelong from now, hence, I read. Books are ever at my bedside. Books are carried faithfully, just in case there is a moment to read, in the car, even when just running errands. I enjoy reading Lewis Thomas. He calls himself a biology watcher. He is, of course, a very well-informed biology watcher. He writes brief episodes. He writes about widely varied phenomena of the biological world. Within each episode, there is an informative and entertaining structure. There is a progression. The direction of his books are like a walk in the wilderness, sometimes up, sometimes down, through meadows, clear spaces, where one's attention is either on the vista or the blades of grass, all a matter of scale and the promptings of the environment. Sometimes he is off through the woods, where life within and between the patches, on a shaded forest floor, calls our attention to holes in the earth and to songs of the air. Lewis Thomas wrote The Lives of a Cell. This venture in biology, through entertaining and informative books, is one part of the exploration of biology. The methodical sweep of the eighth day of creation, an historical account of biology as a path of scientific discovery, provides contrast to the whims and the episodes of Thomas, the wonder of Lyle Watson's books, or the science news in Scientific American, New Scientist, Science Digest, Discovery, or Omni. I enjoy learning. I enjoy learning that many new hatched birds do not know how to sing. I can find myself in complete sympathy with the male zebra finches, who just listen the first 20 or 30 days of their lives. By such listening and their trials at singing, nerves are formed between the brain and the vocal muscles. I laughed. Now I find myself intrigued by a walk to the stream at the foot of the hill behind my home, my study, my office, all the same, because my office is simply across the valley from my home, above the same stream. At the same time, I remember how my daughter wondered why I laughed when I read the news that the museums in Great Britain were having trouble with beetles eating the specimens. She asked why I laughed. It was also reported that 70% of the museums in the United Kingdom didn't have a biologist on staff. They didn't know what to do about beetles. To explain why I laughed, that story about beetles makes me recall visiting Arabia, Saudi Arabia, on the Red Sea, and finding myself standing in the entrance hall of a rather austere but new building. It was late at night. I had only arrived at 9:30 p.m. for my first visit to Saudi Arabia. A woman in dark veils and bare feet rushed in, able to speak very few words of English. She said only two words, "Help! Come," and reached out her hand poised to rush off through an archway. I followed. Perhaps 30 paces down the corridor, she opened a door and pointed along one wall, 16 to 18 feet long, on the floor, were stacks, three deep, 15 inches high, stacks of money, U.S. dollars. The problem was a cluster of rodents of a variety not familiar, but smaller rats of some kind. They were mutilating the money, apparently eating it. She squealed in dismay. I asked if there was a kitchen. Is there food? I pointed to my open mouth. She caught on. She immediately dashed off. In less than a minute, she returned with some bread and some oranges. She squeamishly handed them to me and stood back, while I broke the loaf of bread and offered it as an alternative to tempt away the swarming creatures. I created a trail that led to the door. Then I stood shrugging my shoulders, asking what direction in which I should lead this host of hungry creatures. She opened a door 3 paces down and across the hall, went through and opened another door into a courtyard of some kind. I trailed the bread along the way and dropped the broken oranges on the tile paving in the courtyard. They followed. She bowed, uttering sounds I couldn't understand, then escorted me back to the front entrance. She left me standing for some 15 minutes and returned with the young man who spoke English. She spoke to him without my understanding what was being said, and he progressively smiled, grinned, looked at me, extended his hand for a handshake, and invited me into his office off the entrance in the opposite direction. The wells in Mecca were dry. He admired and appreciated my thinking in getting the animals out of the room. Then he sheepishly explained that the banks in Beirut had been blown up and the banks in England wouldn't accept the money on deposit until they had someone to borrow it. They hadn't found anyone yet. So the Arabs decided to buy something they needed, water. All the wells in Mecca were dry. I wrote it all down. Certainly I understood that animals need food, that people need water, beetles need food, even museum beetles, and no one was going to feed them deliberately. But the museum did want to preserve their collections. So with this rush of memories and this association, I laughed at reading about the beetles in the museum. But I really couldn't explain it to my daughter at the moment. So I wrote it all down. For her, and for you.